Like you remember in Joshua, Achan had taken some things and hidden them, and his sin was exposed. Okay, and everybody saw this, and you know, we're not talking about something being exposed. It's not exposed to everyone. This is something that God is uncovering. Okay, not exposing, uncovering. Okay, making us aware of. All right, when I mean by uncovering, the meaning I mean is more like this. If you remember Isaac in Genesis chapter 26, one of the things that Isaac did was he dug wells. Actually, he didn't dig wells. He redigged wells, so to speak. He was redigging the wells of Abraham because an enemy had filled the wells up. And so as he went around feeding his flocks and he came to places where there were wells, he had to uncover them. He had to redig them, uncover them to get back to the water that was down there. The Lord is uncovering something that he has put in us when we were born again. That to me, and this is, you know, I'm talking to me, all right? So don't think I'm pointing a finger, because if I am pointing a finger, I've got three that are pointing right back at me. So what's happening? What is the Lord uncovering? And when all this stuff started to happen, and we were sequestered in our own houses, and we couldn't get out anywhere, you know, where do you find your life? You know, because our life is usually outside the house. We're going out, going to work. We're seeing friends, we're meeting together, and all of a sudden you're sequestered, and you get to see, you know, really what's your life is made of. And so one of the things that I found that was the Lord found that was covered up, that the Lord was uncovering, was the new heart he gave us when we first were born again. You know, he gave us a heart, which Psalm 84 says is a heart in which are the highways to Zion. A heart with the highways to Zion. And highways, when you look at the highways, I think it means this. It's the desires to find our way to the goal that God has for us. You know, when we first were born again, we were filled with the joy that we are going to be with the Lord. Even with the joy, if you remember, those of you that are as old as I am, in the 70s, remember there was such an anticipation of the Lord coming back soon. And we were so caught up with that, even to the sense of having those bumper stickers, you know, in case of rapture, this car will be unmanned, or bachelor to the rapture, all those kinds of things. The highways that are in our heart that have the desire to go all the way through to the goal. And all of a sudden that's been covered up. You know, you look at it, what's happened since the 1970s? What happened to the looking to the Lord to come back? It might be tomorrow. I remember Jerry and Lou and my brother Mike and I were in a canyon. We were sleeping out and we were reading the book, and it said, the day the Lord may be coming back is September 5th, 1975. And it was that very night. We go, this is September 5th, 1975. It could be the night. And we were so excited. And then we woke up the next morning. But the whole idea is, well, it's been how many years since 1975? And how much stuff has covered up that desire to see the Lord return in my own life? And it says also in this heart, not only there are highways, but the heart is set on a pilgrimage. The heart is set on a pilgrimage. The heart is being moved to pursue that pilgrimage, to pursue, to go on to the goal that God has for us. And set on pilgrimage, that's an action of the will. It's my will being set. It's like Jesus having his face set to go to, like Flint, to go to Jerusalem. And when we talk about the heart here, the heart is the entirety of the whole soul. And remember, the soul includes the intellect, the emotion, and the will. And what I mean by it's entirely the soul, it's entirely under the government of the Holy Spirit. And so this heart that's set on pilgrimage is being governed, being moved to pursue that goal, that going to Zion, all the way through to God's end. And it's the very heart that Jesus has given to us. The heart of God is uncovering. It's taking the things that are blocking it from being known to us. In other words, all this stuff has been covered up in my heart, waiting, you know, saying, you know, get back to it, get back to it, get back to it. And all of a sudden this thing comes about, we're sequestered, and all of a sudden the Lord starts saying, I want to uncover it. I'm going to dig stuff out of your life, taking stuff out of your life because you wouldn't take it out. I'm stopping the world. I'm stopping the world so I can get at these things and take them out. I want to make you aware of the thing I put in your heart and the thing I'm trying to draw back, the thing I'm trying to restore to you. I want to uncover to you the thing, that first love that you had for me in my appearing. And so, and when we talk about this, we're not talking about doctrinal stuff. We're not talking about teachings and things like this, but it's moving our own hearts to action, to move. It's not just I need knowledge stored up. It's okay. The knowledge that I have, the Lord showed me, he's coming back. The Lord has showed me, I want you to walk before me. These things are being blown off, covered up, and saying, okay, let's get back up and start following after these things. And so this thing is being uncovered. And then there's something being discovered. And that's as we get up and begin the pilgrimage anew, we find ourselves going up in the songs of ascent. In other words, we're starting to go up. But we don't. If we're starting to go up, that means we start from what? A lower position, right? And if you look at the psalmist, he said, what's being uncovered is an epiphany. It's something that goes, oh, I didn't even know that. It's a discovery of where he's been. And when we see that, it's because that his heart's been covered, that he hasn't even seen this. And all of a sudden he realizes, the psalmist here realizes, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. And Kedar, my pilgrimage has been stopped, and I'm not moving forward. I'm stopped short. And Kedar is just a place of, it's contrary to what God wants. I'm in a place, I'm living in a place, I'm drawing my life from a place that is contrary to what God wants for me, what God wants for his people. And so what happens is, being sequestered, being caught up and penned up, all of a sudden I start to realize, my gosh, this is where I've been living. It's almost like Lot, you know, it seems like Lot just didn't know that he was living in Sodom, you know, until the Lord had to yank him out. And for me, it's kind of like, you know, wow, I haven't even realized how caught up in the world I've been, how my feet have just been on that path, and how I've been living in Kedar, and I have not been moving forward at all. But I've settled down in the tents of Kedar. I'm occupied in the business of Kedar. Or let's just say in the business of the world, in the pleasure, in the directions. Matter of fact, it's not that I'm in Kedar. Kedar's in me. It's like the Corinthians, you know. The Corinthians were said, it wasn't that the church was in the Corinthians. It was that Corinth was in the church. And that's what finding out that my what occupies my thoughts, my plans, my values, my rest, my life, what is occupying it? And the psalmist is saying, my gosh, it's been Kedar. It's been this place that's contrary to what God wants for me. And I need to get up and get on. And so when you come to a place like this, as our heart's becoming to be uncovered, And we find out that, you know, my gosh, I'm off the path. I'm off the mark. We can do one of two things. You know, first of all, we can just lay down and cry. And say, I can never get back. I can do this. Or we have to say, how can I go about getting back on track again? And so the psalmist in Psalm 121 says, I lift up my eyes to the hills from whence comes my help. Well, okay, if we look to the hills, if we're looking to the hills for help, we can look at the eyes, we can see hills as being obstacles that keep us from getting to where we want to go. Oh my gosh, look at these hills. How can I undo the things that I've done? I can't get through these hills. Or we can look at it and say, you know something? Hills are to be climbed, and I'm going to use the best ways I can get. So I'm going to get all the teaching that I remember and stuff like that, and I'm going to use that teaching, and I'm going to climb over these hills, and I'm going to do that. But that's not what the psalmist does. He goes, I look to the hills. I look at the hills. From whence comes my help? My help doesn't come from those things. Where does my help come from? And he says, my help comes from God. And I just want to give you just a little example. You know, when I was a young Christian back when we were first having the Tuesday night Bible study at Floyd's, I went on this tour and came back. My brother, my younger brother Bill, was in the Catholic Charismatic movement, and he was trying to get me to come back to the Catholic Church. And so I started to do everything I could to get back into the church. I started going to catechism. I started doing this, and it just threw me for a loop. And finally, I went to Floyd, and I said, Floyd, I don't know what I'm doing. I just don't know what. And he didn't lecture me or anything. He just said, I've been waiting for this. And then he just said, let's pray. No lecture, no advice, no anything. Let's pray. In other words, let's just turn to God. Come on, let's just go. You and I together, we'll go to God together. And you can lay your things out before God and ask God for help. And then after we had prayed, he just said this. I said, well, you know, where should I go now? He goes, Jim, it's not for me to tell you where to go, but just go to a church that teaches the Bible. That's all the advice I'm giving you. But the rest is up to the Lord. You know, you got to turn to the Lord for this. And you know, that's the whole thing. And here's the thing. The end of that psalm says this. It says, I will, the Lord will preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. And to keep, in other words, I'm going to keep you. I'm going to preserve your going out. Okay, you have seen that you're in this place and you want to get out. That step you're taking right now, I'm going to preserve it. I am going to keep it. I'm going to keep you going that way. And it doesn't just mean that he's going to watch you go, but what it means is I'm going to go with you. I'm going to take you with you. You'll be walking before me, and I'll be right with you all the way through. And I will be present to assist you as you're going up those hills, as you're going this ascent. As you're crawling out of this place, as you're walking up out of this place, I'll be with you every step of the way. And that's a wonderful promise. And so we find out, just like it says in Psalm 46, which is when you read Psalm 46, it talks about the mountains falling into the ocean, all these things. It's so much turmoil. And you see at the very beginning, it says, God is a very present help in trouble. And the Lord says, once you start that way out, you need to know I'm present with you. And I'm there to help you all the way to the completion that I have for you, to getting all the way to Zion, where you're supposed to be. And then the third thing I want to bring up is there's something to be recovered. So, in other words, what's being uncovered is the heart that God put in us in the first place, that we have this heart that has the highways to Zion in it, that's set on pilgrimage, okay? And as that's being uncovered and we start to move up, we start to take the ascent, we discover that where we've been, and we also discover that God is with us to bring us out. And then the third thing we want to see is something is recovered. And what's recovered is not the pilgrim, but as the pilgrimage is talked about in Psalm 84. But I want to look at the pilgrimage in another way, okay? If you turn to Psalm 23, Psalm 23 is a great picture of a pilgrimage. You know, if we look at our Christian life as being a pilgrimage, okay? And so in Psalm 23, if we look at the first three verses, okay, where it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. For he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." You know, in this picture, in these three verses right here, this is the communion that the pilgrim has with his Lord on pilgrimage. This is his communion. It's still waters. It's green pastures. This is where we're feeding on the word, and we're knowing his peace, and he's showing things to us. We're being refreshed in the spirit, so to speak. Okay, we're gaining our strength after being through something. After starting up a climb, we stop for a bivouac, for you army people. Like, Ralph, you're an army person, right? A bivouac. And so this is our devotional life. This is our closet ministry. This is where we go into the word. God reveals himself, his ways, his hearts. We're praying. We're coming. And what I mean by praying is we're coming into agreement with him. You know, a lot of times when we pray, we're not praying for things. Lord, show me your mind. Show me your way. How do I go through this? And as he shows us his way, we're coming into agreement with him so that we continue walking with him, because we can't walk with him if we're not in agreement with him. And so what happens is, as we pray, as we read the word, as we let the Lord speak to us, then we come into agreement with him and we're ready to go on. Now, verse 4 is the part that nobody likes. It says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff comfort me." If we were saying, you know, what was it? There's an old joke of a guy. The preacher's marrying these two people, and he says to the bride, "Do you take this man to be your husband, for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, in sickness and in health?" And she goes, "I take him for richer, for health." You know, you choose these things, but that's not it. And everybody, and really, when you look at this, our pilgrimage, our ascent, is always, this is the reality of our ascent, is going through the valley of the shadow of death. That's it. That's what it is. And whether we like it or not, we have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And many of us have done this as individuals, but not as a nation, and not as really the whole church here in the United States. We're going through this shadow of death. And what I want to mean by the shadow of death is, you know, right now we're in a time of uncertainty, and that's what the shadow of death is. It's a time of great uncertainty. We don't know what's going to come out, whether we're looking at the election, whether we're looking at the virus, whether we're looking at the world economy. We have no idea. We're uncertain. But the Lord says, you know, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what? You're with me. But that's not the big thing. The big change here is this. And this is the thing that really spoke to me. It says, I will fear no evil. In the valley of the shadow of death, in all this uncertainty, this is what we cling to. This is what we get out of the green pastures and everything else, is that we should fear no evil. It does not say that evil won't befall us. All right? That's a big thing. Doesn't say evil won't befall us. You know, death comes to everybody. It's the way it is, isn't it? hard times come to everybody. We're not going to escape evil. But the whole thing is, you don't need to fear it, because he's with us in this. And that's an eye-opener for some of us. Because I think some of us just want to escape the evil that may be coming. And I think for the Lord, no matter whether evil is coming soon or later or whatever, the whole thing is the Lord is saying, I want to get you ready. I want to get you in the place where you can see that I'm with you. You know, I'm attending with you. From the first time you started to set foot going forward, all the way through, I'm going to see you all the way through this. I'm going to be with you all the way through this. But you will go through things. And I think the whole thing is, many of us, we're like that bride. I'll take for better, you know, for richer, and for health. And we don't want the other part. And it's the other part is really, you know, for better, for richer, and for health, I think that's where we've been for a long time. And therefore, we're not prepared for the other. And we like it because it's easy. And remember, this is an ascent. Even though it says going back to the valley of the shadow of death, we're really ascending. You know, we're really going up. That's something that the Lord, I think, is trying to recover in me. To not fear evil. To not fear what's ahead. And just saying, you know something? Things be what they may. That's not what you're looking for. That's not what you're trying to avoid. I have a plan. I have a will. We're going through. And if you look through it, even at the end, it says two things happen from this. In the psalm here, Psalm 23, it says, you know, even though you might go through hard times, I'm going to put a table for you, and I'm going to let you eat from my table. You know, it's like in Revelation, the hidden manna. Only those that go through these times get the hidden manna that come through these times, because they find the Lord in a way they never thought they'd find him, and in a way maybe they didn't want to find him. Maybe that's some of us looking, where we don't want to find him in this way, but the Lord is saying, you need to find me in this way. Because in that way, in finding me, that's where the life is. That's where the protection is me. It's not in all these other things. And so you need to turn to me. And then if you look back to Psalm 84, it talks about those that go through the valley weeping make it a spring for others. In other words, the tears that come out of it, instead of being tears of sorrow, become those things that make it a spring for others to drink from. Like in 2 Corinthians, where it says, you know, the comfort with which I was comforted from God, I now can comfort others with. The same type of thing. You know, my tears become springs for others, others to drink from, others to find strength from in a time of trial. And so this is what is being recovered. This is what the Lord wants to recover in my heart. And he's doing it for his own namesake. He's not doing it, you know, for because I'm a good guy, or because, oh, I'm taking pity of you. You're such a pitiful guy. I'm doing this for you. If you look at Ezekiel, when he's talking about the new covenant, I think it's Ezekiel 36, 22 and 23. He's saying to the people that are in captivity, he said, you guys have caused my name to be blasphemed. But I'm bringing you back. I'm doing this. I'm giving you this new covenant for my name's sake, because I want my name to be honored. You know, and that's a big thing. I'm doing it for my name's sake. I'm doing it for my son. You know, and then it says, In the psalm, and we'll close with this: blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. Blessed is the man whose strength, my strength to go through all this, is coming from God, just like we've said here, and whose heart is set on pilgrimage. In other words, You know something? I see my calling afresh. And when I say calling, I'm not saying calling to preach or calling to do this, but I see my calling to follow the Lord afresh. And I'm getting up to follow him. And it says, when I get to do that, the Lord says, you're blessed. And what that means is this. Blessed is happy is that man. He's content. He's at rest because he knows he's in God's hands now. And so these are the things that I think the Lord is speaking to me coming into this time of sequestering, not knowing where we're going, because we don't know. You know, and it doesn't matter. I mean, you know, I think of, you know, we're coming up to this election, no matter who wins. I mean, you know, I think, you know, if one wins and it's the one that people that we don't think is the guy who should win, we might go, oh, this is terrible. And that's not the point. Or the other wins, we can say, oh, okay, now we get back to where we were. We go back to Kedar and live our lives peacefully and stuff like that. You know, there's those things on either side that aren't the will of the Lord. The will of the Lord is that in this time, we get up, we mount up toward that pilgrimage to Zion, and we look to him. That's it. And anything else isn't going to make it for us. And so I think that's one of the things the Lord has been doing or showing me in this time. That, you know, Jim, you know, I put that heart in you, and you let it get buried. Now, what I want to do is I'm unburying it, and I want to take you forward through the times that are ahead. And if I don't uncover this road to Zion, you're going to be left behind. You're going to be left behind what I'm doing. And so this is it's a sobering word in one way, but in another way, it's such a hopeful word. Because the Lord is saying, I'm recovering. I'm getting rid of these things that were in the way. And now that they're out of the way and you can hear me more clearly, let's move forward. And I said, Lord, I can't make it. I can't look. He goes, I'm right with you. You take that step and I'm right behind you. That's a wonderful thing to think about. And then whatever comes about as we travel through that valley of the shadow of death, we should fear no evil. We should fear no evil because he's with us. You know, him being with us isn't just some little hope or some kind of little thought, but it's truth, it's reality, that the Almighty God, the Shepherd of Israel, is with us. And his rod and the staff, they comfort. Nothing can come through his hands that he doesn't want to come through his hands. And then he says, and in the midst of everything, I'll feed you from my table, and you'll be a blessing to others. Amen. Isn't that a wonderful way to end?
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you that you have put in us, when we were first born again, a heart that's set on pilgrimage, that is heading to Zion. And Lord, we want to thank you that you haven't led us to work these things out by ourselves, but you've given us your word, you've given us your Holy Spirit, you've given us other brothers and sisters. Lord, we pray that we might catch a glimpse of other brothers and sisters going, so we know that we're not alone. But even if we don't, Lord, help us to get up anyway and to follow after you and to follow after the heart you've given us. Lord, let us give you that place afresh in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Maybe we could open this time up for those that this word is spoken to, uncovered, discovered, and recovered, that there's something on your heart to pray. Maybe we could just take a minute just to be quiet. And if there's something on your heart, please feel free to pray. Lord, we want to thank you that we witness to the fact that you have put pools in these valleys that we go through. The valley of weeping have become a pool of light for us because we've learned to, again, put our eyes on you. Lord, we thank you for your marvelous work in these months that we have gone through, what we are still going through. We pray that you will speak to us, and we thank you for your love, for your faithfulness, for your keeping power. Lord, just the fact that we are here this morning meeting with your people is a testament, not to our discipline or to our determination, but to your faithfulness to us. Lord, we thank you for these words. We thank you for these psalms that speak so clearly of those three elements. We praise you and commit this time and commit all of it into your hands, that you will do it. Faithful
yes.
Who will do it. We thank you in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Father, for this time. Thank you, Father, because we know that you are with us.
Yes.
Thank you, Father, because we know that all the things that you do for us have a specific plans. We want to ask you for my aunt and for my grandfather that are in the hospital. You know where are your plans for them? I want to ask you for your peace in our hair and my hair and my family too.
Yes.
Thank you, Father, because we know that you love us, that you take care of us, and we only want to have peace in our heart that your plans are perfect for us, Father. Amen. Thank you for the election in USA, Father. We know that you have the control of the new president.
Yes.
We want to ask you, Father, that we recognize your power and your plans in everything that you want to do. We don't know what person you're going to choose for this country, Father, but we know that all the authorities come from you, Father.
Amen.
And we want to align our lives to your desires, Father, because you know what's the best for our lives, Father. Thank you, Father, for all the things that we receive from you, Father. Maybe we don't understand, but we know that you love us, that you take care of us, and we love you, Father, for all the things that you give for us. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Gracias, Padre Celestial, por esta mañana, por este día, por esta reunión, por cada uno de mis hermanos, Padre. Yo te pido que los bendigas, que tú nos has hablado a través de que no temamos, que confiemos en ti, Padre. Gracias porque tu Espíritu Santo, Padre, nos abraza y te depositamos esta semana y los meses que vienen. Nuestras vidas están en tus manos, Padre. Bendice a cada uno de mis hermanos que están en la reunión, y gracias por tu palabra. En el nombre de Cristo Jesús. Amén.
Amén. Ernie, can you recap that for us?
He was just thanking God for the Spirit in our lives and just asking that he would be with us in the days and the months to come.
Amen.
Knowing that he is in all things.
Greg, can you give the announcements here?
there is a brothers meeting tonight at 6:30, and it will be it'll be both in person at the building, and it will also be Zoomed. Is that right, Phil? You got the Zoom, the tested, and it'll be Zoomed.
Yes, please pray. I did a dry run Friday, and it seems to be okay. So I want to encourage the brothers who don't feel comfortable about coming live. I'm thinking especially of Mark. I hope Mark comes. But Mark, if you don't feel up to it or feel that you should, please, it'll be available there. And Dan and Paul Harlan. So please pray for our time. We're going to continue to discuss opening up.
Currently, we are planning to have another meeting in-person meeting next Sunday evening. We're going on with our Zoom meetings in the morning, but we are planning for next Sunday. That will be in discussion tonight, the details of that. And then on Tuesday, we have the Bible study at Sharon's, 7:30, both in person and on Zoom. And then Thursday, we have the prayer meeting on Zoom, which is at 7 p.m. And then the brothers' prayer meeting at 8 a.m. on Zoom on Saturday. And that is it.
Can I add something?
Yes.
We're starting to work on the stockings for Mexico. I sent out an email, but I'm not 100% sure everybody got it. So if you want to be involved, you can contact Debbie Brown or myself, and we'll answer your questions and get it rolling.
I have a question about this. Is there, I asked Jan, but she wasn't absolutely sure. Is there any hope at all of us taking them to Mexico, or are we going to wind up taking them to a storage at this point, or to Chula Vista for them to get it?
As of now, Lynette says that we can come into Mexico and we could drop them off at the orphanage, but we can't stay. So it wouldn't make a lot of sense for us to go down unless we can hang out at the orphanage. So for now, I think our plan is to leave them in the storage.
Okay, thank you.
It's going to keep us updated.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Anything else? Jim, thank you, brother, for joining us and sharing.
Thank you for flying me out.
Thanks, Jim. Good to see you, Barb.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Jim.
Thank you, Jim.
Take care, Jim. See you, Jim.
Bye,
Barb.
Bye, Barb.
Hi, yes, Barb.
Hi, Linda.
There's Esther.
Goodbye,
everyone. Hi, Esther. Goodbye, Esther.
Hi, Esther.
See you all. Hope to see you again sometime.
Jim, it isn't just that we flew you out, but how quickly we got you back.
It's amazing.
That was the trick.
I don't feel any lag at all.
Hey, Jim, the three here from Mexico City, you might have met them. It's Jonathan, his wife Nancy, and their son Isaac.
Oh, buenas tardes.
Blessings.
Blessing. Nice to meet
you.
Nice to meet you.
Thank
also.
You so much.
Jim, we love you.
Love you too.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Thank you, Jim.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Esther. Bye, Lee. Bye.
Blessings. God bless you. Bye. Bye.
Blessings to you.
Hi, Mark.
Love you too.
I love you, brother. Bye bye.